Sunday school class this morning. We had a, as always, y'all probably get tired of me bragging on our Sunday school class, but we've got the best one in here. I don't know about y'all, but we have the best one in here. So, but anyway, we're glad you're here today. If you're a visitor with us, we want to make you welcome. You set your feet under God's table and worship with us. And if you don't have a home church, we invite you to make this your home church. We'd be glad to have you. So you make yourself right at home. I only have, other than your bulletin, we give you those bulletins for a reason. There's a lot of pertinent information in there that goes on throughout the week, and that'll help you know what's going on here at the church. So if you didn't get one coming in, get one on the way out. I don't like to repeat what's in the bulletin. That insults your intelligence of being able to read. So, but the flowers on the piano today are in memory of J.T. Koontz. So we appreciate everything that J.T. did and the legacy that he has here in this congregation. All right? We're going to worship the Lord now with our tithes and offerings. We'll ask our four ushers if they'd come. We'll pray. And you think about what God has done in your life as you contemplate what you would like to give back. We owe him the tithe. We give him the offering. Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for another day that you have given us, Lord. We're grateful for what you have done here in this building today, dear God. You've met with us. You have blessed us. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessings upon the service today, dear God. We pray that you would bless this offering. We thank you for what you've done for us down through the years, and as we just give back a portion, as your word tells us to, we worship you through that, dear God. And we pray that we as a church would use these funds, dear God, to do what you would have throughout the world. We ask your blessings upon the service. May you be honored and glorified through everything that we say and do this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yep. Yep. Yeah, going to have to put his fingers out. And when he first started out, I thought, well, he was just kind of really, and I thought, well, that's not typically him. And then he took off. Yeah, that was good. That was awesome. That was better than good. That right there was awesome. I appreciate how the Lord's using him and his family. His whole family's talented. I wish Jeremy was as good as him. But I'll have to say he takes after me, so anyway. All right. Miss Susie.
Austin, that was wonderful. Blesses my heart. The Joy Bells have two songs this morning. The first one is called Over the Rainbow. If you've ever seen the movie Wizard of Oz, you know that Dorothy sings this song. So it's not typically a church song. But when I was looking at the words of it, and I talked it over with the children, and I said, tell me a place that you think bluebirds fly, flowers bloom, and there are no more troubles. And not a one of them said Oz. You know what they said? Heaven. So I love to watch that movie from time to time, and some of you may also. And I hope that all of us, when we watch that or when we hear that song, we won't think of a magical make-believe land. We'll think of the place where there are no more troubles and where everything is beautiful, over the rainbow. And their second song is why we have a heaven to look forward to. Jesus loves me.
Thank you.
while we're getting the microphones ready. 316 has two songs for us now that have really spoke to my heart in the last few months when things have been a little worrisome at our house. The first one is called Already There. And sometimes it's hard for us to remember that we're in the here and now, worried about what's going to happen out there when God is already there. He's already there and back and forth. He's timeless. And that's been such an encouragement to me and continues to be. So please pray for Lainey as she sings the solos on this. Lainey had a very eventful night last night. Her goat cave gave birth to triplets last night. And Lainey was up all night with those triplets. And she's here this morning, and we're really thankful for that. The next song also has been a comfort to me. It's called Through All of It. And it features Katie and Lexi. And it's a reminder that we have good times in life, and we have not so good times. And we have some real unsure and uncertain times. He's our God through all of it, through every bit of it. So these songs have really spoke to my heart. Remember the teens as they sing, and I hope that they bless yours too. What do you need?
Just tap it.
We good?
Thank you. I lost my mom, and since then, my dad has all his time overseas going down. gentlemen, what I think we'll do is we'll have the music, and if you'll just have it down lower, and then we still have the a cappella chorus at the end. Thank you.
I've taken more than I can give, and there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life.
I have won, and I have lost.
I struggled to believe, but in those unclear moments, you're the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone.
I have won, and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Through all of it.
And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of our lives, I look back and I see you. Right now I still do, and I'm always going to.
I have won, and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. Joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
All right, we have any testimonies? Bless you.
His arms reached up as high as he could.
Thank the Lord.
Bless you, Martha.
That helped me so much because I was worried.
Amen.
Because you know, you think that going, but you don't know for sure. And I was praying so hard that the Lord would give me some kind of sign that He was going to go.
Amen.
And when I said that, I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord."
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Because
bless you, Martha.
I didn't want to lose Him, but I'm glad He's where He's at.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
He's not
right.
Suffering.
Right.
That's exactly.
His legs are not hurting.
Right.
Right. Right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
He's a whole man now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And He is in heaven, and I know it. And I got to keep myself straight now so I can see Him.
I try.
Again.
I try. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And pray for Tammy. She's coming with me. And I want her to get saved again. So she'll be able to see
Amen.
Her daddy.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I just had to stand and say,
bless
you.
Bless you.
And let you know that I know my husband is in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you, Martha. Bless you. Anybody else? Amen. Use those talents to glorify the Lord. Amen.
At the altar, they're finding victory. They're standing up. They're giving praise to God. And what they're doing is they're putting their faith in God, and they're telling us their stories of how God showed up in their life. And so when we do that, when we encourage each other, then we come to the realization that we can have victory ourselves. We can have freedom ourselves.
That's right.
You know, it's kneeling at the altar is not a place of weakness. It's a place of strength.
That's right.
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 That's
right. A place where we rise up and we feel 100 times better than we did when we went, when we were burdened as we came to the altar.
Yes.
This is a place of victory this morning. And whatever you're fighting, whatever battle it is, you've just seen and you've heard from people who have, with God's help, overcome the things that they had in their life.
Yeah.
So whatever you're struggling with in your life this morning, you can overcome it with the help of God.
Right.
You just need to find that strength to hit your knees. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Finding the strength to hit your knees.
Yes.
But that's what it takes.
Yes.
To find peace, you have to be proactive. You have to seek. You have to knock. You have to ask.
Bless you, Jimmy.
But you have to look for it.
Right.
You know, we talked this morning in our Sunday school class. It said, be a hearer and a doer. If you just hear and never do, you're not gonna be victorious over anything. But if you hear God's word and you do it, and you seek His face, then you will find what you're looking for. You'll find victory.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And I'll sit down, but I'll say this before I sit down.
Bless you, Jim.
It is there to find.
Yes, it is.
Right.
God is real.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
And He's
Amen.
So much more powerful than you can ever believe. And He loves you so much more than you can ever believe.
Amen.
But know this, it is real. And if you look, you will find it. But you have to look for it.
Amen.
Look forward to the rest of the service. But whatever you're dealing with, be proactive and seek God and overcome whatever it is through Him. And you'll find peace and you'll find victory.
Amen. I think the Bible says, seek Him while He may be found. Right? Bless you.
Thank you this morning. He's just been so good to us.
Amen.
Brian's not here with us this morning, but he's going to Bible Center with a friend, and I just want to thank him. Some people think that saying that somebody's clean and that they're doing well is, you know, like a bad thing because you're lifting them up, but I think we need to lift them up because he is doing well. And yesterday was 7 months, and I praise God for that because
Amen.
He is God that's helping him do that. And I know that. I know that from the bottom of my heart that without the Lord, he wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I know people have mixed feelings about addiction and addicts and all that. And I just want to thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for where he is today.
Amen.
Because without him, he wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I just want to praise him for that.
Amen. Amen. Bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Bless you, Steve. Feels good to be in church. I feel like I've been to church. Amen. Come back tonight. We've got more young people who's going to be singing tonight, and seems like when the young people sing, the Lord shows up a little bit extra. I don't know why. I don't know what that's all about, but it's just the Holy Spirit really speaks through these young people, and I'm thankful for the group. We had 24. I think it was 24 up here this morning. Yeah, and that was 316. I didn't count how many of the joy bells we had, but a lot of churches would just like to have that many people coming to their, you know, let alone just the young people. So I'm thankful. We're you're breaking the rules. According to Jimmy, you're breaking the rules. Go ahead.
According to God.
Amen. That's right. It's right.
And I just want to be an encouragement to this lady over here, first of all, because we've been down that path. Two nephews and a nephew's wife, three of them in the same family. It's a struggle. It's a heartache. It's a pain. No one knows until you walk through it.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, Brian will be okay.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
If the Lord has truly got the hold of him, because that's the only way out is with the Lord.
Amen.
And I just got to give praise to God for that every
Amen.
Day of my
yeah.
life.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, honey.
Bless you.
Bless our heart.
I've carried a burden for the Drug Addiction Society for a long time. I carry a list of names in my purse that I have lifted up to the Lord in prayer, and I've asked every church I've ever entered into to pray for that list. Nobody needs to know names. Some families want you to know the names, some don't. But more importantly, God knows the names of each
right.
and every one of them.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I have never seen, and we never had it in our family before, and I've never seen the likes of what the devil can do with that. I mean, we've experienced where they steal from their own family. They take and pawn everything you practically own. It's ugly.
Bless you,
it's ugly. It is of the devil. And the reason I stand right now is to encourage her, but also to say this. Young people, if you're here this morning and you're listening to me, you stand for what you believe in.
Right.
You stand for for God first, and you stand for what you believe in with Him, and you hang tight to His hand because you're going to be tempted by the devil with these things in the world. And young people, what's out there today in the way of drugs is more potent and powerful than it's ever been. And it only takes that first time, and you're addicted to life, a lot of them are. Only by the grace of God do I believe that the demon of addiction can be cast out and overcome.
Right.
Now that's my feelings alone on it. I may be wrong.
Amen.
But in all honesty, I believe that's the only hope that the addict has.
Right.
I just want to encourage the youth of this church. Be strong, stay strong in the Lord, and stand up for what you believe in. Don't be pressured by your friends and your peers that you're in school with.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Spirit's here, folks. He's moving. Anybody else? All right. I'm blessed this morning. I have just a privilege this morning that I haven't been able to have the last several weeks, and I've missed him. And this is somewhat of a surprise. I wasn't sure Aaron was going to preach this morning. I was told it was somebody else. I really appreciate Aaron. I really do. He means a lot to me. I've worked with him, he's just been an extra special blessing to me and my family. I have the privilege this morning to ask him to come and speak God's word. And I'm thankful that he's able to do it this morning. And I'm going to ask Jeremy if he would stand and pray for Pastor Aaron as he breaks the bread of life this morning.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your cards, your thoughts, food, different things that everybody's done. This week, I have my surgery. I'm not worried about that. Audrey sings a song. I'm a winner either way. Sometimes you say, well, that surgery's not that difficult or critical. Anytime you go under, it's difficult and critical. Many men have faced surgery and went on to be with the Lord. I don't know whether I'll be back here. This may be my final sermon. But as Martha said, you look for me on the other side. I thought as she talked about Arthur raising his hands. Last Sunday, I got to be in the Sunday school class. I think it was Sunday, Charlie, wasn't it? We were talking about what glory is. And I began to think about that. And, you know, this flag up here in the corner, you know what one of the things is that they call it? Oh, glory. And to anybody that's been in the military or whatever, that flag is very important. And that flag is important that it's always what? Lifted up, upright. You see the pictures of the men in the military raising the flag to keep it from being on the ground. But you know what we need to lift up more than old glory? Is our Savior Jesus Christ. The scripture says this, and he said that, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. This morning, my thought for this morning was we've heard the State of the State address. We've heard the State of the Union address. I wanted to give you the State of the Church address. You say, well, are we doing okay? Well, look around this morning. Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Have you been blessed this morning?
Amen.
You know what we need to do? We need to lift our hands up and praise him.
Yeah.
We need to, every opportunity, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I thought of the song that 316 sang about, you know, there are battles that we've won and there's battles that we've lost.
Yeah.
And in this life, you're going to run into that a lot. But I thought of a battle that was going on in the scripture. And the scripture says that Moses was there, and as Moses lifted his hands up to the Lord, there was victory. But you know, there came a time when Moses got weak and his arms began to fall and they began to lose the battle. And you know what took place then? His brother came to the rescue. Two of his brothers came to him. One was his actual physical brother. It said Aaron and Hur, I believe, if I'm right. They took his arms and began to lift him up unto the Lord. When he didn't have the strength to carry on, his brothers stepped in for him. There's been times in the last 3 months that I haven't had a whole lot of strength, but I could feel your prayers. I could feel that God was in control. We talked about this in our class a couple weeks ago. We talked about praying. We pray to God and ask him for things. We know that God is in control, but he's not an all-controlling God. Now, does that make sense? He lets you make the choice on what you want to do, where you want to go, and how you want to serve him. But you need to realize he is always in control, but he is not controlling you. There's someone here this morning I want to recognize before I go any farther. In my time being off, I look for good news, and I don't find it on the TV.
There you
I don't hear it on the radio. I don't read it in the paper. But I got some good news over the past couple weeks. The news was a young lady had given her heart to the Lord, and her dad got to pray with her for her salvation. And I'd like for her dad and this young lady to come up here and show you who got saved not too long ago. I'm not going to say who they are. They know who they are. Maybe there's a whole bunch of you, but I know who these are. Come on. Jason, introduce this young lady to everybody.
This is my 6-year-old daughter, Addison. Yes, I was at Monster Jam with my son, and I got a text from my wife. Yeah, thank the Lord. It said, Addison wants to get saved tonight. She wants to wait until I get home. So I can take her kind of enjoy the rest of Monster Jam, knowing what my daughter would want to do when we got home. But by far, one of the best things I've got to do was sit on my bed with my daughter and pray with her to accept Jesus as her Savior.
Amen. 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 You know what the word gospel means? Good news. Now that's good news you're not going to see on the front page of the paper. So I wanted to share that with you tonight to know, to start with, the state of our church is the fact that we're being blessed. And I don't want you to miss a blessing. I don't want you to leave here not being blessed. If you're here this morning and you've not received a blessing from this service, you know what's wrong? Your blesser's broke. Or you're unsaved and you don't know what we're talking about here. But Jesus Christ, this young man here, went to Cleveland Clinic, wasn't it, Sean? We didn't know whether he was going to get to come home. And they had told us how many weeks he was going to have to stay there. What was it?
Almost a month. I might have stayed there. Probably 4 or 5 weeks. And all like that, he only 2.
And he got to come home in around 10 days. That's the power of the Lord. I thought in our lifetime, so many times we focus on so many things. And when we focus on the wrong things, you know what we do? We lose our blessings. If we focus on each other, you're going to lose a blessing. If we focus on numbers, you're going to lose a blessing. If you focus on something that somebody said to you, you'll probably lose a blessing. But you know, if you focus on Jesus Christ, you'll never lose a blessing. If you do what He has you to do, you'll never lose a blessing. I want to just speak to you just for a few minutes. You know, when a preacher gets up to talk, that's what everybody's looking for. Just that few minutes, because I got to get out of here. I'm hungry. Well, this morning, it's already past noon, so just give me a few minutes, okay? 27 years ago, there was a vision to start a church here. I would like for everyone who was here who started the church here in 1990, I'd like for you to stand right now. Thank you. We started. We started in the old Sayre school building. Dirty. Junked up. First service was in the back 3 classrooms where the kitchen used to be. And they came in there and we sat on what? Lawn chairs. Look at this morning. We're blessed, aren't we? But you know, God was in that service just like He was here today. If you continue to lift Him up, you'll continue to be blessed. 20 years ago, this coming summer, we moved into this sanctuary. 7 years we were back there. We had the old sanctuary back there, and then we moved the sanctuary to where Gopi Land and Foundations are. Continued to grow, 169 or so, and we were packed in there. But we began to look at what do we need to do. So we began to look at this building. How many here today were here 20 years ago when we moved into this building in 1997? Few more than were in that first number. Some of you weren't even born back 27 or 20 years ago. But real quickly, I'd like to talk to you about how I see Gold Town Community Church. And I began to think about this. And my mind went back to Nehemiah. Anybody know who Nehemiah was? I would say President Trump could probably hire him today if he wanted to get that wall built. Nehemiah realized that Jerusalem was without protection of the enemy. And he went out at night to look and see what needed to be done. And he had a vision. He was a young man. He had a vision. What's the scripture say? Young men, old men do what? We dream. We dream about what we used to be able to do, what we like to do. But young men have visions. They can not only see it, but then they can get a hold of it and start working on it. So I want to read one verse out of Nehemiah 4. And here's what I'd like for you all to do. You get a chance, read the book of Nehemiah. He was in captivity, really. His people were in captivity. The wall had been destroyed, the temple, and he wanted to see it rebuilt. So he came back. And when I look at Gold Town Community Church, I see this scripture. It's chapter 4, verse 6. And over the past 27 years, we've built, torn down walls all around us. But this is what it says. So build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And here's what I describe our church as. For the people had a mind to work. No one gave us this property. No one gave us that school building. In fact, we were probably charged more for it than it was worth. Well, I can guarantee you we were. But we had a mind to work. And at that point in time, one of our trustees actually took his house and put it up as collateral so we could borrow enough money to buy it. And from that day on, our desire was to get rid of that loan that he had on his house as quickly as possible. I can't remember exactly how quickly it was, but it was quick. We got the other paid off, and then we looked at this building and decided to build here. And we knew that our cost was going to be approximately $350,000 time we had everything finished. You say, Aaron, that's a lot of money. It is for a little church. That's a lot of money. So we had a line of credit to do that and to start building. We built. And when the building was finished, guess what? We had $70,000 left over. You say, well, how did you do that? Because people had a mind to work. People had a mind to give, and people wanted to see the Lord's work done. And when we finished that, we started looking for a place to build on a facility where we could have activities in. And we began to look, and we really didn't have a place to do it except back up on the hill. And a few days later, you say, well, what are you talking about, Aaron? I'm talking about God was in control. And we looked over here. There were three houses over here. Some of you probably remember at that point in time. And it wasn't very long. We realized those people started moving out. And we wondered what was going on. And the fact was there was a tax sale on this property. And you say, well, Aaron, what? God was moving. God was making a way for us to have the facilities that we have today. We are blessed. We are blessed. God has taken care of every one of our needs because of you. And your desire to work, your desire to put forth the effort. I don't know how long we've been making eggs. How long, Charlie? You remember? All of Charlie's life. But when we look back on what they've been doing in making eggs, over the past several years, I know the average that they've been making is probably $17,000 or better. And that's not easy work. If you believe it is, come and do it sometime. Come volunteer to help. But it was a way to make extra money for the church. But I thought, you know, 27 years that I've been here, we've never had a need that he hasn't met. I put forth. Well, let me go back to finishing up my tax sale. They announced the sale and they made it over here in this little field over here across the creek. They had set up a tent, I believe, didn't they, Mike? And Mike and Jim Atkins were sitting on the front row. We had decided that we had $70,000 left over from this building, and whatever it took, we were going to get that up to that point. They sat there on that front row and started the bidding. There were people here from California. There were people here from Florida, from all over looking for investment property. And they were under that tent with them. And the bidding began. And the bidding was up to like $40,000. And everybody stopped bidding. You say, what in the world was going on? Of course, Mike and Jimmy were looking at each other. Did we bid? Are we okay? Thought they'd missed it. Somebody had got it or whatever. But I tell you what happened. God moved into that tent. When those people realized that the church was trying to get this for this property, they all stopped bidding. You don't stop investors from bidding if they want something. But God moved in. We were able to secure the property, and then we began to build. How many here, I want you to stand, had the privilege of doing something on this building when we were building it? Painting, working, electrician, plumbing. I'd like for you to stand right now if you worked doing something as we built this building. Thank you. A lot that worked there, not here today. But I want you to know, God was in control. But here's the catch. We hired a local contractor to lay the block for us, get the roof on, get everything going. And the cost of that building at that point for that part of it was $750,000. There were people that didn't think we could do it. There were people that left saying, you'll never do that. But I didn't know any better. I said, Lord, if you want this done, you make a way. We received a loan in that amount. I went back through my computer yesterday just to look at some of the financials. I had 11 years financials on my computer. I had the rest of them somewhere, but you know how computers you have to change every now and then, or they blow up on you. But this is one thing I want to share, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time on this. In 2006, the principal balance on our loan for that facility was $698,682. 11 years later, this past December, financials, our balance on that loan was $96,000. We have paid over $600,000 in 11 years. And it's because of you. And it's because of your gifts, your work. Lord willing, I think, Debbie, we've already paid two payments, haven't we, this year? We've got 11 payments left after this month, and it'll be paid off. You say, what do you say, Aaron? That was a big chunk of what we had to pay for during that period of time. Do you feel God's blessed us with this facility? Do you young people enjoy playing ball over there? You old people like trying to play ball over there? Do you enjoy having birthday parties there? Enjoy having dinners there? God has blessed us. And I'm asking you from this point on, don't miss those blessings. And you say, how can I get a blessing, Aaron? Well, let me share one other thing here, a number I have. And during that period of time, not only did we pay that much off on that loan, but each year we averaged around $34,000 in improvements. Put a new roof on, repaid the parking lot a couple times. You remember, what was it, 3 years ago, all of our air conditioning units were out. All of them went down at one time. They just got to that age, they died on us. And we asked you, we came to you and said, will you help us get this? The first Sundays, that we needed right around $35,000 to complete it all, have them installed. The first Sunday we took up an offering, we got $22,000. And then we got the rest, I think it came to like $26,000. You say, Aaron, what happened to the balance? We had another person who attends our church, said, I'll bring my crew out here and we'll install them for zero. The people have a mind to church, a mind to work. God will do what? He'll bless the church. He'll bless you. You can't outgive the Lord. I've known in my life, and again, I'm going to try to hurry. In my lifetime, there have been times that I felt financially I was in a rough spot. But I determined in my heart that God got his money first. There were battles that, you know, we'd kind of lost. But, you know, in the end, he gave us victory. Never will his children go hungry or beg for bread. In 27 years, we've never stood up here and begged and begged and begged. We'll give you what we need, and you supply the need, or he supplies the need through you. And then you have that blessing. Psalms 122 says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Aren't you glad that you got to receive God's blessing? You know, that wall that Nehemiah was building, it looked like an undaunting task. And then that scripture that I read said they only had half of it built. But he said the people had a mind to work. And that when they built it, they had to have a guard there and a man working. Each laborer had a guard to take care of him as they built it, because the enemy was out to destroy. You know what the enemy would like to do to our church? He'd like to destroy it. He'd like to divide it. He'd like to pull it apart and just make ruins out of us. But I thought here, the job was half done, but the people had a mind to work, and when they had a mind to work, You know what God let them do? They completed the wall. Anybody know how long it took them to complete that wall clear around Jerusalem? 52 days. You think President Trump couldn't use that kind of work? They didn't have backhoes, welders, dozers, and all that. They did it by hand because they had a mind to work. And I want to encourage you. Don't miss the blessings. You say, how can I miss the blessings? I'd like for you. Here's a scripture I want to give you. This comes from the book of Malachi. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel here, and he's telling them, look, you know, you're wondering why things aren't going well for you. Maybe you're struggling in your families. Why is things struggling in our families? But here's what he said in verse 10 of the third chapter of Malachi. He says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Ron does a great job of reminding us every Sunday. You know, some people think giving money is a grudgery. Okay? Because why would we think giving money to God would be a grudgery? Because we're what? Selfish. We want to keep it for ourselves. But listen to what he says here. If you'll bring your tithes and offerings, if you'll just give God his portion, here's what he'll do. He says, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants to bless you. And if you're stingy with God, you know, it's hard for him to bless you. But over 27 years, there's not been any stinginess in this congregation. Because look what we have. Look what we're about to pay off. Look at the other projects that we got coming up. But I want you to say this. God wants to pour out his blessings upon you. Not just a blessing here and there, but what did it say? There's not room enough for you to receive it. God will truly bless you. And in closing, I want to read this scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. We're not here to tell you what to give. You purpose in your own heart, according to this scripture, what you're going to give him. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We take up many offerings during the year to help people, and you cheerfully give. We take up offerings to pay our evangelists, and you give, and they get all of that. I would say that if you question every evangelist that we've had over the past 20 years, nary one of them would ever say, I've never gotten an offering. Every one of them would say, I've never gotten an offering like that before. Because you had a mind to give. And you gave cheerfully. And you bless those men who go out and work for God, who probably a lot of churches, I think Al got a bag of groceries one time at a church. And he felt glad about that. But some of them go out and work for weeks and they don't get hardly anything. But we've been blessed to the point we can help them. We have friends and neighbors and people within our church that have hard times, floods, fires, and different things. But because you have a mind to work and a mind to give, those people have been blessed. And I want you to realize this. You just look back over the past 11 years to see what we've been able to accomplish. It's not us. It's God. It's God blessing you with something maybe you didn't have before. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago in the finance committee. Don't give and expect God to give it right back to you. Give it with a free heart, a cheerful heart, and somewhere down the road, He's going to bless you for it one way or the other. But it's important for us to realize the state of the church that you sit in this morning is in really good shape. You say, Aaron, we still owe $96,000. Hey, we've been paying it for 11 years. We just got one to go. And if you keep giving and God keeps blessing, we'll finish that and we'll start another project if He leads us to. Or maybe you all will. I may not be here. I have surgery on Wednesday. I have a cancer that they say is very curable. I'm thankful for that. But there's other things going on inside that I'm not aware of. And I want you to continue to pray for me. I love you with all my heart. And it's been a wonderful pleasure to serve over the past 27 years. I'm not planning on going anywhere. But if it's His will that I do, I'm going to be okay. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know who He is, but you don't know Him within your heart, you can leave here this morning in the same condition that I'm in right now. I'm ready to go. You can be ready to go. If you're 6 years old, that's a great start. 6 years old is a great start. But as I shared with my class this morning, and I've shared with you several times, my grandfather was 70 years old before he met the Lord. My father was 35 years old before he met the Lord. God is in the saving business. He don't care how old you are. He don't care what you've done. He don't care where you've been. All you need to do is come and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. As we stand right now, as Bree sings the invitation, don't wait. Just come to Him right now.
I believe that You are God alone, but sometimes I still try to take control. 'Cause I get scared when I can't see the end, but all You want from me is to let go. You're parting waters, making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All You need for me to be is still. I bring my praise before I bring my need. 'Cause there's no fear You've not already seen. I rest my heart on all Your promises, 'cause I have seen and know Your faithfulness. Your parting waters, making a way for me. Your moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All You need for me to be. Oh, you've whispered my name.
Help us right now.
You answered my prayer. You're moving mountains. You're parting waters, making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still. Be still.
When it's a word, you can count on it. I believe God's going to work something out for Jeremy and his family.
Yeah.
That's the kind of God that we serve.
Yeah.
The God of impossibilities. I got a little bit nervous. You going to sing again, huh?
Do you want another one? She has. If not, that's okay, too.
Aaron, you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. It's been good to be here, but yeah. I thought when he was... The word, you can't go against the word. I got a little bit nervous with him. I got nervous with him. And I start sweating when he talked about the wall. I thought I was going to have to take this tie and throw it away.
You're on the right side of the fence now, so you're all right.
And then he mentioned another thing when he said, how many did anything? And I thought, and he mentioned manual. Manual labor. That's what I did.
We thought you were going to pay for that.
Pardon?
We thought you were going to pay for
it. No. My father's rich. He's rich. He owns it all. He owns it all.
Praise God.
Yeah. Bless your heart. You can't.
Mike wanted me to mention the... what our property has been appraised at. And
bless you.
I think for insurance purposes, what is it now, Mike?
It's over $3 million.
It's up close to $3 million. So, and if you notice, that wasn't all cash.
That's right.
There was a lot of hard labor that went into it, and that's the people had a mind to work. So.
And Aaron, you forgot to mention the ladies.
The ladies. Well, I gave everybody the chance to stand, but I didn't ask for cooks. The reason these men like to work is because these ladies are good cooks. So. Yeah, I'll share one real quick before we go. Jamin, my youngest son, came down to work with me one time when we were still working on the old building back here. And Joy always made homemade rolls and stuff for us to eat. And I walked out back, and Jamin was standing there, and I thought, what's wrong with him? He looked like a chipmunk. He had rolls stuffed in both cheeks. I said, Jamin, are those good? And he said, no good. Don't tell anybody else they want any. So he learned at a young age to fight for his food, but there's been a lot of good cooking going on, too, and that's really a blessing also. I want you to come back tonight. I hope I can be here. There's going to be a new quartet in town, and these young men have worked. I don't know, they're going to do one or two. They're just going to do one, but... just keep them in your prayers. And let me say this to you. If you don't like to drive at night, look around and say, would you give me a ride to church? You know, a lot of times we can use the excuse, I can't see too well, and believe me, I can't. Sometimes Susie has to drive for me, but if you'd like to be here, just look around. One of these brothers or sisters would be glad to pick you up. And so just let somebody know, and we'll make arrangements. But pray for me this week. I hope to be back, but you pray for me. I love you all. Let's not dismiss. Let's take these blessings out into the world and come back tonight expecting some more. Good day, and God bless you. Amen.